Please be seated. Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. Every year in February, there is an anti-bullying day in schools across BC, including right here in Powell River. And each year, schools get shirts designed, sometimes by students, sometimes from outside, that say things like stop bullying, end bullying, etc., etc. Now, the year before I was here, I was working at a silkscreen printing studio, and we had an order from local schools for these pink anti-bullying shirts. And the shirts were delivered to the schools, sorted, sized, printed, and boxed accordingly a week before the day, which I think is something like the 21st or the 23rd, and all the kids were expected to wear them. So that same week that I did all these deliveries, a mother and son came by the studio and asked if we could print a single shirt for the boy to wear on Pink Shirt Day. So naturally, I asked his size and motioned towards yet another stack of pink shirts. And he said, no, I'd like a grey one, actually, with some pink writing, please. I've got the design here. He passed me a USB stick, and I plugged it into the computer, and there was just one file on it labeled T-shirt. I clicked and opened it. And the text read, stand up to bullies, end the silence. The boy must have been 9 or 10, and having been bullied right through high school myself, I looked at him and thought, my bloody hero. The mum ventured to explain. She said, my son has been bullied almost since his first day in school. She said, no one says anything, the teachers don't intervene anymore, and the kids he's friends with say nothing because they are too afraid. And on Pink Shirt Day, every year, even the bullies wear the shirts. She said, it's an absolute farce. I looked at this kid, and I just thought, wow, like, in the face of his tormentors, this young lad, who was barely this tall, was making a stand by not wearing a pink shirt, as he was supposed to. Instead, he was peacefully drawing people's attention to the fact that it was happening on the daily to him, it was wrong, and he was not afraid to call everyone out for standing by and letting it happen. He was supposed to fall in line and put on a pink shirt that morning, but instead he chose civil disobedience, of which you know I am a huge fan. Now we find ourselves this morning in Exodus, hearing how Moses became part of Pharaoh's household and how civil disobedience saved his life. Pharaoh, we hear, is moved by his fear and prejudice, and he wants power over life and death. But we hear how God subverts his plans with the midwives. Now, why did they do what they did? Because they feared, or perhaps another translation is revered, the God of Israel. Now, we don't hear that the rest of the Hebrew boys were saved, or even that the order was carried out. Two midwives alone certainly couldn't have kept up with the demand of such a large population having babies. So what is the point of the story, I ask myself? Perhaps Exodus is more of an account of the Hebrew God's greatness and power in comparison to the gods of other nations. But I think it's actually about, in this case, the midwives and their civil disobedience. These two women who were named, which is really rare. Whenever you see a woman named in scripture, it's like, stop, this is really important. That's why you should read the book of Esther. She gets a whole book. So these midwives, these named women, are highlighted because of what they did. They stood up in a nonviolent way so that they could be agents of God. They considered what they heard and made a choice about what they felt was the right thing to do. Killing children or adults en masse is a crime against humanity, as we know, and it makes me think of things like the Holocaust or more recently the genocide in Darfur in Western Sudan. And these are not things that we face on an immediate day-to-day here, except through our televisions. And these things are at the extreme far end of a spectrum of injustice. So on that spectrum, there are definitely things happening in our immediate locale which are unjust. They're just not as unjust as killing, like, all the babies. So the story of the midwives speaks to those who revere God and what they are supposed to do and what they are supposed to choose when they encounter injustice. Why did Pharaoh give the order? Because he was afraid of the Hebrews' growing numbers. Fear leads us to treat people badly, to focus on ourselves and make sure me and mine are okay. Take care of number one, which is why bullying still happens in schools. I think as well that since the pandemic, we are more fearful as a society. I think that the pandemic taught us to be more inward looking, which of course it did, because we all had to stay at home and focus on, you know, those four walls and adapt to being at home with our loved ones 24/7. We had to cut ourselves off and try to keep in touch using technology. But we saw fear play out in all kinds of ways. My personal favorite was in the grocery store with the people who would buy all of the toilet paper, or all of the ground beef, or all of the Lysol wipes. Why? Because we were afraid that we wouldn't have enough. Imagine what it must have been like during that time as Lysol wipes and toilet paper prices skyrocketed to be a person who was already living with not enough. And what about now? It seems like everything is still more expensive since the pandemic. It's really weird the prices didn't go back down. Now, I know that some of that is like rising transportation costs, and maybe some of it, in fact, I think most of it is just a corporate money grab. I'm not sure because I'm not an economist, I'm a Christian. And so I'm supposed to be kind, compassionate, generous, etc. I'm supposed to be nice. That's what someone told me. Christians are nice. And after all, this is Canada, so, you know, we are known for being nice. But nice just kind of sounds passive, doesn't it? Because God doesn't call us to be nice. God calls us to act like these midwives in the story when we encounter this kind of fear and injustice. That's why we heard stories of people in supermarkets stopping people with carts full of ground beef and saying, hey mate, you need to put that back. Or checkout assistants being paid $16 an hour saying, sorry, I'm not going to sell you all that because that's not okay. $16 an hour to stand up to someone who's like this tall. We look around, and we may wonder, are there really any social justice issues here in Powell River? I mean, it's pretty picturesque. Like, you look at the postcards and you're like, oh my God, I live there. We're living in a democratic country. There's no war raging here. Like, there is enough toilet paper and ground beef. So what is so bad that could be going on here? So let's look at the midwives again. We hear that they are Egyptian. So it made no difference to their personal lives, their families, if Hebrew babies were killed. Their families weren't the ones being targeted. So it makes sense that there are people facing injustices here in Powell River who are not immediately connected to us. And so, therefore, we may feel like we don't have a stake in what happens to them. And yet we do. Poverty, addiction, domestic violence, food insecurity, housing costs, the cost of living, period, discrimination, environmental concerns. I think this could end up being like a really, really long list. And I think it could end up being a list that just overwhelms us and leaves us feeling hopeless. But it doesn't have to. Every day we encounter people, and it turns out people will tell you what is going on with them, with their words, with their appearance, with how they hold themselves. Sometimes we can see something is wrong, and we don't ask because maybe we're afraid of being told, bug off, it's none of your business, or something like that. I think what the story is about is not letting fear dictate our actions. Like, the worst thing that you can get told is, go away, it's not your business. So when we feel fear creeping in, let's take a moment to ask why and just examine that. And while we're going about it, when we encounter injustice, and we do every day in all kinds of decisions that we make, I think it's important to return to our baptismal vows and ask, are we keeping with our calling to be Christian, followers of Jesus, or are we just doing what's easy? Are we afraid of being thought of as a busybody, a Bible thumper, or a do-gooder? Not a do-gooder, come on. Or as being too nice? Oh. That, it turns out, is just our ego, or some would say the great tempter himself, poking us and saying, look after number one, remember, nice guys finish last. But I tell you what, I hope we finish last. I hope we're the nice guys who show love and mercy and compassion, who use the gifts, the many gifts that Paul listed, which exist in so many of us in this room, to step up for others, to step up for the environment because of climate change. Because somewhere in a book that I once read about a homeless guy called Jesus who turned out to be the Messiah, he said that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So Lord, how we pray to be in that number among the last. Amen.